This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
I'd like to welcome everybody today and greet our internet listeners, if we have any. Hopefully we do. Reminder, turn your cell phones off or have them on vibrate. There is a penalty if they go off in committee. And this time I'll have the secretary call the roll.
Representatives Barthel.
Here.
Chafee.
Here.
Schwach.
Here.
Freimuller.
Here.
Greenfield.
Here.
Hammock.
Here.
Mullally.
Here.
Reed.
Here.
Reimer.
Here.
Shanefish.
Here.
Sullivan.
Here.
York.
Here.
Otten.
Here.
We do have a quorum. All right, need a motion to approve the minutes.
So moved.
Second.
I have a first from Representative Chafee, a second from Representative Reed to approve the minutes. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So moved. All right, I'd like to remind all of our testifiers today to sign in and ensure that if you're a lobbyist that you're wearing your badge. A reminder that all the handouts should go through our pages. And at this time, I would like our pages to come up and say a little bit about themselves and what their plans are.
Hi, I'm Callie Anderson. I'm a senior at Huron High School, and we have about 150 kids in my class. I plan to attend Black Hills State for political science and then eventually become a lawyer. A little fun fact about me is that I run a boutique called The Rebellious Rose with me and my mom.
Hi, I'm Shannon Weller. I'm from Gregory. My class size is 20. I grew up on a little farm just north of Dallas, South Dakota. So that's it.
Very good. Glad to see you guys up here. All right. Remind that all testimony and questions should be addressed through the chair. And at this time, we will get into our bill hearings. And we are going to start with Senate Bill 100, reduce the number of petition signatures required for conservation district supervisor elections. Do we have any proponent testimony? Representative, how are you doing this morning?
Doing well. Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Drew Dennert. I'm the state representative from District 3, which is Brown County. I bring before you today Senate Bill 100, an act to reduce the number of petition signatures required for conservation district supervisor elections. The South Dakota Association of Conservation District members voted unanimously at their 2017 convention to request that the number of signatures needed on a conservation district nominating petition be reduced from 25. The reason for this, a legal-sized sheet of paper, which is 8.5 by 14, contains up to 30 signatures, and a standard is 8.5 by 11, and there's a lot more candidates nowadays printing their petitions off at home. So most people don't have a printer that is capable of printing off a legal-sized piece of paper, so some of those petitions that are being printed off are invalid. So what we're doing here is reducing the signatures amount from 25 to 15. Originally, we were going to do 20, but Senator Greenfield suggested that we go to 15 so that there is some room for error if there are some invalid signatures. So what this would do is move it to 15. So when you take your petition out, which will have 20 lines on it, you can fill that up and have five people that could potentially be invalid and still have enough signatures. So I would appreciate your yes vote on Senate Bill 100. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further proponent testimony, Senate Bill 100.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the House Local Government Committee. My name is Angela Ehlers. I represent South Dakota's conservation districts, and we do rise in support of Senate Bill 100. As Representative Dennert mentioned, this was an issue with our conservation district supervisors. Just to give you an example again, this is what you would normally print off on your home computer, and we do have people that are printing. This is a school board petition. They're 20. This is the current petition for the conservation districts. And if they only have 8.5 by 11 paper and they print it off at home, they miss the certification portion. So the idea is we want to encourage people to be involved in the democratic process and run for office. And we think that by making it an 8.5 by 11 process and something that they can easily download, easily fill out, follow all the regular laws, that it would be a wise choice for us to make. We believe in open and transparent government. We've taken this issue and shown it to the Secretary of State's office. They don't have any, they didn't indicate any issues with it. As far as 15, is that a good number? I would point out that I just recently circulated petitions for our municipal league election on behalf of a person. We had to have 9 signatures. I know a friend at the county commissioner level in Edmonds County, he needed 6. So 15, we feel, is a reasonable amount, and it does allow the opportunity for more people to get involved in the governmental process and run for election. So we would appreciate your support. Thank you.
Any other proponent testimony? Any further proponent testimony on Senate Bill 100? Seeing none, I will move into opponent testimony. Do we have any opponent testimony on Senate Bill 100? Seeing none, we have no reason for a rebuttal, and I will move into committee questions. Representative Schwack.
For the last proponent, is there a law that requires these petitions to be printed on legal-sized paper?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Slodge, no, there isn't that it's required to be on legal-sized paper, but in order to get 30 signatures, it becomes so tiny you can't hardly write on it.
Okay. Follow-up, Mr. Chair. How many people are within a conservation district on average? You mentioned some towns where you only have to get 6, and that's, of course, based on population. But, you know, how big is an average conservation district in South Dakota?
Mr. Chairman, most conservation districts follow county lines. There are some that do not. For example, in Brown County, we have 2 conservation districts. In Tripp County, we have 2 conservation districts. In Pennington County, we have 2 conservation districts. And then Meade County has 2, with part of that going into Perkins. And then, but on the other hand, Brule and Buffalo are joined as 1 conservation district. So they're pretty much going to follow the county boundaries.
Further questions? Seeing no further questions, we will move into committee discussion and or action. Do I have any discussion and or action on Senate Bill 100? Representative Mullally.
I'm a little confused. I sat on this board when HB 1075 came before us, and it was for a resolution to ask the conservation districts to forego getting signatures on petitions in order to merge or dissolve.
Dissolve,
thank you. Yeah, I know. To dissolve a conservation district. And now they're coming to us to ask us for a reduction in signatures to get elected to that position. I'm confused. It's confusing to me to go, why is a conservation district trying to get out of following some of the laws? I mean, you know, 20, 25 signatures are not that many to get. And 2 pieces of paper are not that hard to carry around with you. I know I had 40 pieces of paper when I got elected. So I'm just wanted to put that out there.
Yep. Further discussion and or action. Representative Schwack.
Briefly, I have some of the same, thank you, Mr. Chair, some of the, I guess, same concerns here. I mean, you can also do, when you print something, you can print a page so that the thing will fit on the page that you have, you know, if it's 8.5 by 11. And 2, I don't understand why we couldn't ask the Secretary of State, or they couldn't, to create a petition that has, that is on an 8.5 by 11 page, but those are, I guess, just comments.
Thank you. Any further discussion and or action on Senate Bill 100? All right, I see no more discussion, so I am going to specifically move into action. Do we have action on this bill? Representative Barthel?
I move you pass.
Second.
I think I have one already, but thank you very much. I have a first from Representative Barthel and a second from Representative Shane Fish. Do pass. Discussion on that motion.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I think the request is reasonable. It's hard enough to get people to want to even run for some of these seats, and ultimately it isn't the number of signatures on the petition that gets you into office. It's the number of votes you get. So others be on the same playing field, so I don't have an issue with it.
Further discussion on the motion in hand? Seeing none. All right. We have a do pass motion with the first from Representative Barthel, a second by Representative Shane Fish. I'll have the secretary call the roll or the vote.
Representatives Barthel?
Aye.
Chafee?
Aye.
Schwach?
No.
Freimuller?
No.
Greenfield?
Aye.
Hammack?
Aye.
Mullally?
No.
Reed?
Aye.
Reimer?
Aye.
Shane Fish?
Aye.
Sullivan?
Aye.
York?
Aye.
Otten?
Aye.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Senate Bill 100 has received an affirmative vote by 10-3 and will hit the floor with a do pass recommendation. All right. Next up is Senate Bill 73. Revised qualifications for sanitary district trustees. I will take proponent testimony now. Good morning, Representative.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I am Timothy Johns. I am a representative from District 31, which is in the Northern Hills, Lawrence County. Senate Bill 73 is an act to revise qualifications for sanitary districts. Each sanitary district in South Dakota is governed by a board of trustees who are elected at large. The size of the board depends on the number of sewer or water facility connections that are served by that district. For a district which provides services to less than 500 connections, the board consists of at least three but not more than five members who are residents of the district. This residency requirement generally is not a problem in your larger districts who have a sufficient population base to meet it. However, in your districts having less than 100 residents, there are oftentimes a problem finding enough residents to serve. This is especially true in many areas of the Black Hills where you have many absentee property owners who own vacation homes. And, Mr. Chair, I do have a proposed amendment, which is 73YA. And I'll wait until it's distributed before I go on.
For those of you listening online, we're going to be at ease for just a second while we have a proposed amendment being handed out to the committee members. Thank you. I'm fine. Go ahead and proceed.
Thank you. I do have an example. The Deer Mountain Sanitary District was just incorporated, which is in my district. It has approximately 112 connections with 50 registered voters, of whom only 21 actually live there full time. And, of course, you have several voters in homes. 17 of those voted at the recent election, all of who supported the creation of the district. Now, The proposal in the amendment is to broaden the base of the potential candidates. Senate Bill 73 would, in Section 2, amend 34A 521.2 to expand the number of qualified candidates in those districts having 100 or fewer residents. That's the difference between the original bill and the one that the amendment now. It originally read connections, it now reads residents. So it would expand the number of qualified candidates in those districts having 100 or fewer residents to include any person who is either a resident of the sanitary district or who would own real property within the boundary of the district. The proposed amendment is a practical solution to a problem which is facing many of these smaller districts. There should be no problem in the participation of the non-resident members given today's modern technology in that you can utilize conference calls and Skype. So that is the proposal. The amendment would propose that if it has 100 or few residents in that district, that you can either have a person serve who is a resident or a property owner in the district. I will stand by for questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further proponent testimony?
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Margot Northrup. I'm an attorney and peer and a registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Association of Rural Water Systems. We worked with Senator Schoenbeck at the beginning of session on this issue, and you educated him on the sanitary districts. There's actually sanitary districts are members of our association. They are not all created equally. The reason that there's 100 resident cap on this one is because a lot of the sanitary districts that are part of our association are much much larger, you know, 250 to 500 users. And it was important for them that the sanitary districts remain a resident of their area, their sanitary district, before they could serve as a trustee. And so I just received this amendment. From first blush, it doesn't look like it changes the agreement that we had with Senator Schoenbeck. And to that regard, I would just stand by for any questions, and we would support the bill and likely the amendment, but need a little bit more time to digest it. Thank you.
Any further proponent testimony? Further proponent testimony on Senate Bill 73. Seeing none, I will move into opponent testimony. Do we have any opponent testimony? Any opponent testimony on Senate Bill 73? Seeing none, there is no need for rebuttal, and I will move into committee questions. Do we have any questions from the committee? Representative Mulally.
Mr. Representative Johns, you're asking to add in real property owners as being able to serve as a trustee.
You have to be, Mr. Chair, you have to own property in the district in order
right.
to get to be qualified at that election, yes.
Prior to that, it was just a residence?
Just residence, okay. Yes. Currently, the law says you must just be a resident. And the problem you're finding is it's difficult in some of these to find people to serve. I am very familiar with this specific district in that my law partner actually created it, and they're struggling to get anybody. You know, up at Deer Mountain, you can go up there in the wintertime. There's a few, but most people who own property there live elsewhere. A lot of them are residents of South Dakota. Most of them are, actually. But they're not there most of the time. And you have a lot of people, even if they're considered to be residents, live elsewhere most of the time of the year. They may be a resident for purposes of voting, but they aren't living there most of the time. You have very few families up there that live there full time.
So my question to you is you're saying that this all can be – the trustee's job can all be done through conference calls and Skype and stuff, and there's no more public meetings if they don't reside there?
Mr. Chair, no, you'd still have a public meeting, and it'd be open to the public. And if you were doing Skype, they're just appearing by Skype or by conference call. I do it quite a bit in my business where people participate in meetings by conference call, and you can have other people present in the room and listening in with the speakers that we have the capability now. People can hear all of that. I don't think it's really a problem anymore.
So let's say that the five members, the trustees, none of them are there, but they're required to have a meeting. How is the public going to get involved in that?
Mr. Chair, somebody has to be there to run the meeting, so somebody's going to have to be physically there in order to make it work. You know, I've served on a lot of committees, and we've utilized this type of technology as well, where I'll be at South Dakota Tech and participate in a statewide meeting with the utilization of some of our modern technology. You can make it work if you want to. Most of the time, their meetings are rather short, but you know, my experience dealing with districts and homeowners associations, it's just hard to get anybody to run for those positions in the first place. And most of the meetings are usually rather informal, and anybody that wants to participate certainly can. If you live there and you want to give your input, you're going to get it done. So I don't foresee it as a problem, frankly.
Representative Chafee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Johns, could you help maybe walk through the process a little bit and explain how the sanitation district has taxing authority, and then you as a resident and owner of the property would be paying taxes there, so you'd have a vested interest in that, right?
Mr. Chair, thank you for the question. Yes, if I own property there, I'm going to be paying taxes and contributing to that district in the form of taxes. So otherwise, if I do not get a chance to participate, I will be paying taxes, and I don't have a voice as to how it's going to be spent.
Further questions? Seeing no further questions, I'll close the public testimony portion and move into committee discussion and or action. We do have an amendment out here. If anybody is so inclined to want to move that and change the bill to what they're looking for, and then we can deal with the bill as a whole. Representative Reed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move Amendment 73YA.
Second.
Okay, I have a motion to move Amendment 73YA by Representative Reed, second for Representative Chafee. Any discussion on that?
It seems to me it has the same result in what's being done. I think just the language was cleaned up, so I think it's a fair amendment.
Okay. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So moved. All right, now I will move into committee discussion and or action on the bill as amended. Do we have any discussion, Representative Schwack?
Well, first I want to welcome Representative Johns back. I know you were out last week, so thank you for being back. It's good to see you. This is one of the areas, actually, where I have quite a bit of knowledge based on in Nebraska. You know, I went to law school not even knowing what a sanitary improvement district was, and then I ended up having a client that had an issue with in a sanitary improvement district in Nebraska. And so I'm mostly going to comment on some of the issues that the Nebraska legislature dealt with when it comes to residency. And I don't know if this bill addresses it or not, but it's a interesting story and one worth doing. And one of the things I would encourage us as a body to do is look at how Nebraska uses sanitary improvement districts as a way to develop infrastructure for developers. And I can go into more detail on that too. But there's a funny story, and I'm sure you've all experienced it if you've driven down I-29, where Nebraska had a residency requirement too for their sanitary improvement districts. Well, they're used a lot for development down there, including commercial development. And in Nebraska, what's unique about theirs compared to ours is there's a time component. So initially, in the district can consist of members. It can consist of anyone who owns property in the district, the idea being it's bare ground and you can't be a resident of bare ground. Over time, as the project develops, residents start getting more control of the sanitary improvement district under the theory that they live there, they should have some control over their taxation. And in fact, I think after 5 years, they all have to be residents of the area if it's depending on percentages. There's that Sapper Brothers along I-29 in South Omaha, and that was started through the development of a SIT. And it was mostly all commercial property. And there was a hotel in that district, and he didn't like that SAPA and some of the other development a little closer to the interstate effectively got to control the entire SID. So a crafty lawyer decided to carve out a little piece of that hotel, which the hotel owner gave to his hotel manager to live in. Well, she became the only resident of that district, and then she got to appoint the entire board because she was the only resident. So residency, what I would encourage with these sanitary improvement districts, and the point of that story is, one, it's funny, and it's clever legal maneuvering, which I always appreciate. And then, two, residency isn't actually always the best way to kind of look at how we pick a board of trustees. If you don't have a lawyer, you should have a lawyer on your board, I think, and you should have someone who understands sanitary a sewage, and you might not have that in here. So looking through the statutes, just an overall comment, I don't know how I'm going to vote on this bill, but I think the way South Dakota does sanitary improvement districts is actually hampering a lot of development, because the way it works in Nebraska, and I hate to talk good of the Cornhusker state, but they essentially, if you are a developer and you own bare ground on the edge of town, you can form a sanitary improvement district, and then you have that taxing authority. You issue a bond before anyone's even there to pay for that infrastructure. Then when the property owners get in there, they're paying that bond back, which, they've got the benefit of it because they have sewer running. But when I look at South Dakota statutes, I mean, you have to have residents there first. So we have this problem where we create a hodgepodge of like septic tanks and things like that. And then after everyone's already invested in their septic system, we're saying you should switch the sewer, which to me just, I know how people feel about that because we have that issue in my community, Riverside Acres. That should probably have sewer. There's over 500 people living out there by the river, but they've already spent $6,000 on the septic tank, so they don't even want to consider it, and rightfully so. So anyway, knowledge for it. Part of me thinks we should vote the bill down to force the issue for the next legislative session, but I appreciate you listening to me ramble.
Representative Reed.
Is action okay at this time?
Yes, it is.
I will move due pass on Senate Bill 73 as amended.
Second.
All right. I have a due pass motion with the first from Representative Reed, a second from Representative Hammack. Any discussion on that motion?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As Mayor Brookings, I would appoint the utility board. And Representative Schwach made some comments that are true, that sometimes you want to get certain people on these boards that have knowledge to help the boards move forward. And there happened to be a gentleman that owned a construction firm within Brookings, had a very large building, you know, so he was a customer, but he lived out of town, and so you couldn't appoint him. And I think that having it just be where you have to reside in the area limits you on who you can select for a board, and that's why I support this bill.
Further discussion on the motion at hand, Representative Schwach.
Yeah, if I may, I think the amendment actually kind of nullifies that situation, because this is only going to apply to, you know, you can be outside of the sanitary improvement district if you're under 100 residents. I don't actually think we allow for non-residents to even be a part of the sanitary district in either one of these situations under the amendment. And I mean, when we, you know, if you go up to in the bill 14.1, we talk about having households, farms, businesses, or other entities. And then with this amendment, we're talking just about residents. So, you know, we have is an entity a resident of a district? That was the exact issue that happened with the Sapp Brothers deal down in Omaha. So I think just kind of glancing at it and knowing what I know, we would be better to rewrite the whole things than to make it even more confusing.
Further discussion. All right. Well, I don't know. I have a little thought, too. I don't know if it necessarily applies, but I was just thinking back to a situation in my district with the city council and allowing somebody who's not actually there to testify, because that was brought up by Representative Mulally, and he happened to be a city council member, and he was serving in Iraq. Well, they set up Skype at every city council meeting to allow him to sit in, talk, and vote on that. So I don't see it a big deal for the aspect of somebody Skyping in on a sanitary district. I've seen it work at the city council level, and I don't know why it won't work here. So just my 2 cents worth on that part. Any further discussion? Seeing none. Do we have any action? Oh, we do have action. We got a first by Representative Reed, second by Representative Hammack with due pass. I'm going to have the second as amended. I'm going to have the secretary call the vote.
Representatives Barthel.
Aye.
Chafee.
Aye.
Schwach.
No.
Freimuller.
Aye.
Greenfield.
No.
Hammack.
Aye.
Mulally.
No.
Reed.
Aye.
Reimer.
Aye.
Shanefish.
Aye.
Sullivan?
Aye.
York?
Aye.
And Otten?
Aye. So Senate Bill 10-3 has been approved with affirmative vote with a due pass motion and will go to the floor as amended. All right, after consulting with the prime sponsor of House Bill 1224, there's still technical difficulties going on with that, so I am going to defer that bill until Thursday to give the prime an opportunity to get that fixed, and if not, then I guess Thursday will meet its demise. So with that, I guess that takes care of all of our business. I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
I have a first from Representative Chafee, a second from Representative York. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So moved. We are adjourned.